Lady listeners, could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? It sure can. You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we have to suffer through it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through it anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, y'all. Hormone Harmony has been part of my routine in 2024 and will continue to be in 2025 because, simply put, it makes me feel better. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today. You don't need to feel like financial wellness is impossible. Acorns gives you small, simple steps to get you and your money on track. What I love about Acorns is knowing I am doing something proactive for my future. And it's not a time suck because basically Acorns does the hard part for you so you can give your money a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Good morning.
How's it going?
It's going. You know, it's going good. I'll tell you what. I took a 2-day getaway. Went to go visit my sister in Northern California, and that meant my husband was left in charge of the children.
Mm-hmm. How'd it go?
It went okay. They didn't, like, do homework or anything. I think he tried. It's okay.
Yeah.
I packed lunches and stuff for every... I mean, I made it as easy as possible for him. But I'll tell you what, just that little getaway, my kids are being nicer to me. My husband's being nicer to me. You know, sometimes you got to get away to get appreciation up in here.
Okay. Well, I need to get away then.
You do need to get away.
I do.
But you got to leave your husband home with the kids. Yes.
I know.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like I come home and he's Mr. Grumpy Pants. I would rather get away with just him, which we were supposed to go this weekend on a little getaway, and we had a hiccup, so we are not going any longer. So I'm not getting away. I'm going to be full on Boy Scout football, all of the above this weekend.
Well, that's what you got to do.
Yeah, got to do what you got to do. I'm also very happy, though, because I am going to finish all the Christmas decor. So
you
can come
start.
Over and see it.
Oh, would love to. I know my neighbors are going to think I'm such assholes because they still have their Halloween stuff up.
Oh, did and you put your Christmas out?
I'm going to put it up this weekend because it's the only time I have time. I'm seriously booked like every weekend from now until Christmas. So sorry.
You got to do what you got to do.
Get the hint.
Yeah.
It's Christmas time. Take down your boo shit.
I think November 2nd is like, it has to come down November 2nd.
Yeah. Right?
Now we're like almost in mid-November. Anything exciting happened this week? No? Okay. She's shaking her head. No. She's boring AF.
I mean, I sort of am. I mean, the big topic of conversation around my house is my kids are asking a lot of questions about the tooth fairy.
And you think if you tell them about the tooth fairy, then
I am like just dismissing them because I'm saying, I just am like, I don't know what you're talking about. Later.
You know, my kids don't even put their, they never have asked me if it's real or not. They just decided they're not going to put their teeth under their pillow anymore. They're just going to keep them. So we just never had that conversation, which is fine with me. I think, you know, they got it. The whole Santa Claus thing, though, I do think my older boy still believes in Santa Claus. Well, or maybe he just wants to believe. I don't know.
I am just afraid. Listen, I am not big on lying to my kids. Like, you know. So mm-hmm. I would tell them more truthful answers about the tooth fairy if they straight up ask me. I mean, they're old enough. They're 8 and 9 to know the truth.
Yeah.
But I just want one last Christmas with the magic. And I'm afraid if I tell them the truth, then they're going to put all the pieces together. And it's like, let's just have one last one.
I know. I think it's good. You remember what I did is I set up the camera. You know, my daughter like tried to pretend
yes.
to, or she actually did try to record Santa Claus. And I came down and I noticed it. And so I set up an app on my phone where you can pause. And then I airdropped the video to her iPod. So it looked like Santa came and set up all the stuff in like a blink of an eye. And it was awesome. I mean, you should do something like that.
Well, I think maybe you traumatized her, though, because she's going to like believe forever. And then all the kids are going to be like, hi, it's high school, Kyla. Like, really?
It's possible. It's definitely possible.
My kid.
But it's fun.
We were camping.
Do it.
Okay. So this is what's been coming up is we were camping one time and somebody was lighting up those things, you know, that you pull with a rubber band and you shoot them up in the air and they glow in
yes.
the dark and then they spin down. We were kind of
I
on
love
a
those.
Bluff. Yeah, they're super fun. So we were on a bluff above where people were doing them kind of in the distance. And so when we saw them, I told my kids like, oh, look, it looks like the fairies are flying. And so
did
now Willow's.
Them?
Yeah, they did. They were like, we saw fairies for sure. So now and Willow is like,
they told their friends.
I think she's like, remember that time we saw
yeah.
the fairies? She's like, I'm thinking maybe you lied. I'm like, oh, goodness gracious. That's a little harsh, child.
Oh, your kids are so funny. They like do not hold back.
No, I don't know where they get that.
Oh, I don't either. Okay, so I am on the mic for 2 weeks in a row. Gretchen just reminded me, which is so fun.
What goes around comes around, boo.
Stories. I get to tell you lots of stories. And guess what? This week, the story comes out of your hood, actually close to where you just were on your little getaway.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You ready to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. This week, we are going to California. Colusa County, to be exact.
Colusa County? I don't even know where that is.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you. It's right above Sacramento.
Okay.
Off the 5 freeway. I know you were on the 5 this week.
I was on the 5 and I passed through Sacramento, but then I took a east turn.
Okay, so you would kind of take a west turn. It's by Mendocino.
Okay.
And it's before you get to Chico.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure you were pretty close to that.
A couple hours. Geography.
It's a farming.
Not your strongest suit. Okay.
What?
I said that's
What'd
like
you say?
A couple that's like it's like a couple hours away.
From where you were?
Chico
well,
is
if
like,
you passed Sacramento.
I didn't pass it.
It's Oh, you said you passed it.
No,
okay.
I didn't pass it. I got there and turned east.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Okay.
Well, you pass it and then you don't get to Chico yet. So
okay,
it's like
okay.
in between
this is boring too.
Sacramento that's and Chico. Anyways, up. Just to let okay. you know, the population is 21,000. So it's pretty small.
Pretty small.
And the houses are somewhat affordable. Right now, you can buy a really, really lovely 4-bedroom home for $400,000. So I feel like it's a pretty nice place to live. The Moore family thought so. Grandpa Moore built his roots in Colusa County. His exact name was Richard Moore. He found himself 1,800 acres and started a farm. They had walnut orchards, rice fields, tomatoes. It was a working farm, and it did real well for the family.
That sounds awesome.
I feel like it sounds like maybe your last life or something, or your next life, you know? Like, I feel like you would like to...
I would love a farm.
I know. I think you would. Or maybe when you retire, when Jeremiah retires from, like, the ocean life.
As long as we have, like, have a farm. Listen, we could live on an island with a farm. That's the dream.
Sure. Lots of people do that in Maui.
Yeah.
I dated a guy that had a farm in Maui, had cows and everything. And he was real cute, surfer guy.
Yeah.
I think he's still out there, actually. Anyways, Richard Moore, he left his farm to his two sons, Roger and Gus. Gus's real name was Arlen, but for the sake of this case, we will call him Gus because that's what he went by. The Moore Brothers farm was what it was known to be, and for years the farm was run by these two guys, as well as two employees who also happened to be brothers, Roberto and Eduardo Ayala. Gus and Roger each also had sons of their own. One of Gus's sons' name was Peter Moore, and Roger's son was Paul Moore, which I think is kind of funny. Peter and Paul, it's like very biblical.
Yeah.
You agree?
I agree.
I should know this, but I think Peter steals from Paul, something like that.
Or something. It's something like that.
A bunch of you are
always skipped a couple Sundays. Thing. Yeah. You know, so many people have biblical names and they have to remind me because I don't realize.
Mm-hmm.
David is a biblical name. You know, there's all these names that you just forget are biblical.
Yes. David is a very so Jewish common. Name also.
My husband's name is Jeremiah. It's a biblical name too.
That's 100%. My name also is in the Bible, if you wanted to know.
No way. Liar.
It really is. I'm not lying. People remind me of that sometimes.
What did you do in the Bible? You're hanging out with Mary Magdalene or something, right? You guys were girlfriends?
No. You know, I don't actually know. I think that I also was a resurrector like Jesus.
Oh, okay. Tab's the new Jesus. Okay. Okay. Well, we'll find out.
One of our listeners once did say, like, they would think, what would Tab and Gretchen do? I don't know. Anyways, let's go back to the Moore family.
Okay.
And Peter and Paul. Peter and Paul were always on the farm as young kids. They helped their dads out. They messed around. They played around. Much like, I'm sure you had a friend or two that had an orchard or something in Ventura, did you?
I had a friend who had a banana farm in La Conchita.
Oh, you did? And did you go there and hang out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had a friend that had a lemon orchard and avocado orchard, and we would always be out there playing hide and seek and driving their farm vehicles before we were old enough to. And I think that is what Peter and Paul used to do also. Peter and Paul were more like brothers than cousins, but Peter was more the troublemaker. Seems like Peter's father, Gus, was a jerk and often actually abused Peter. Peter took his abuse and outwardly showed it by becoming a bully himself. He would beat people up at school, talk back to adults, and act like a real prick. I would
no
say
likey.
Peter, yeah, I know. And I would say Peter was one of those guys that no one really liked. No one liked to be around him, but he still had a few friends that tolerated his annoying behavior. I think we all know people like that and maybe even sometimes let them into our social circles, even though they're like, ooh, you know, when you bring them around, there's going to be trouble. Peter also liked to shoot things, which a lot of people do, although it's not my thing. Peter set up a duck hunt on the property. shot lots of ducks, but when he started shooting other birds, his father had Roberto, his worker, remove it so Peter could no longer shoot animals. Paul, cousin Paul, was different than Peter from all accounts. His dad didn't seem as awful as Gus, but maybe not the most loving parent either. Paul managed his abuse differently. He actually became a drug addict and got in trouble with the law, but stayed away from violence. So kind of see where these two boys were going in life. Not in the path that probably Grandpa Moore would like to have seen them.
Yeah.
So both boys kind of went their own way until 2011. Paul got his shit together and started working for his dad and his uncle back on the farm. Peter, on the other hand, he had started a landscaping business years ago after it was clear that his dad was not going to be helping him out. Actually, Peter says that when his grandfather was on his deathbed, that Grandpa Moore actually willed part of the farm to him, but nothing was ever in writing, so it didn't happen. Peter did have a resentment towards his father, so much so that he begged his grandmother to disinherit his father and give it to his Uncle Roger, as he thought Roger would be more fair to him than his own dad. But that never happened either. So he just continued working in his landscaping business. I think he like laid sod for a living, which, by the way, can be very lucrative. Trust me, we just got some new sod.
Yeah, that's impressive. Our lawn is, well, new sod. Even just a nicely maintained lawn. It's good, right?
Is impressive.
Oh, we don't. Our lawn is sad.
Oh,
it's very sad.
Listen, I need a well-manicured lawn. The problem was with my lawn is, or our sod, it came with infested worms.
Oh, gnarly.
Unfortunately. And so then it all kind of died. So now we're trying to repair.
Well, part of why I like putting so much Christmas shit, like Griswold style, in my front yard is because it distracts from my gross lawn. It's like half dead. Yeah.
That is true.
Tis the season.
I bet you, Peter, if he did my sod, it would all be nice and green.
Oh, okay.
But our guy, he's fixing it up. Okay. He's fixing it up.
Okay.
On July 16th, 2011, it was a normal day on the farm. Roberto, the farm guy, had been there for 19 years by this time. He had brought his son to work. He often did that with any one of his kids. They always liked to ride along with their dad, and he was proud of his work. This particular morning, he brought his youngest son, Fabian, who was only 7 years old. They both drove in a truck to the rice fields where he had to turn on an irrigation system. And when Roberto jumped out of his truck, his little son stayed inside watching his dad. Roberto headed to the irrigation panel. It kind of looks somewhat like a breaker box, if you can picture that. Like it has like a, almost like a dial on it, like a, you know, what they check your meter. And then you open it up and you kind of flip some switches to turn things on. When he opened it up, it blew up and Roberto was on fire. His son saw the whole thing happen and went to help his dad, but his dad literally was on fire. He couldn't even get to his dad's cell phone. So this little boy just started running. He ran over 2 miles to his neighbor's house begging for help. He ran through those like rice muddy fields, you know, when they have rice, it's like rice paddies, you know?
Yeah.
He ran through some sunflower fields, and when he showed up, he was shoeless and scared.
There wasn't a closer telephone at, like, the farm?
He's 7. I think he just didn't know where he was or which way to go.
Okay.
You know? Just think about, like, your kid. If they were just in the truck and, like...
Okay.
I don't know. When my kid got went missing on Halloween, I was like, they're never going to make it back. And it's not even like a mile radius. I don't know. Whenever he, that's how far he had, that's how far he ran before he found something, you know?
Okay.
1,800 acres. It's pretty big.
Dude, that's big.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm sure he just was, I don't know. I mean, poor kid. But he found somebody and neighbors called for help. And by the time they got to Roberto, it was clear that he was deceased. Police came and they kind of chalked it up to just a random electrocution, that something sparked in the box and electrocuted him. But something seemed off. Paul actually thought something seemed off. He found some pieces of metal that were not associated with the system and went to the police a couple days after the incident and said, this looks like it might be malice. And you know what? Maybe my cousin Peter could be linked to this killing. Paul said, he just sent me a couple texts a few weeks ago over his landscaping business and he wanted back into farming. So Paul shows the investigators these text messages stating that Peter thought Roberto should be fired, that he was incompetent, and how he wanted back onto the farm. Investigators were brought in, you know, like the ATF, to really examine if this could be a bomb and not an accidental electrical explosion. And come to find out, it seemed to be so. There was a spring that looked like a little spring from a mousetrap. There was metal, like homemade spikes from metal, and chemicals found that would indicate this was actually a bomb. But would Peter really kill Roberto? Hey guys, I want to tell you about Care of Vitamins because no matter how old or young you are, it is always a good idea to try to be as healthy as you can. And Gretchen and I have relied on Care of for our daily vitamin routine for a while now. They have high quality ingredients, are super transparent about how they make their vitamins, which we love and appreciate. And they make it easy. They take the guesswork out of what we should be taking every day. We took a in-depth quiz that wasn't too long, so don't worry. And they formulated our vitamins just for each of us. They ask questions like diet and lifestyle. And be honest, guys, because they tailor it just for you. I love that they come in individualized packets. So every day I just pop one of those open. Take it, done. It really makes taking vitamins very, very convenient. And for you guys, they're offering 50% off the first order, which is amazing. So it's 50% off your Care of order. You go to takecareof.com. Again, it's takecareof.com and enter the code CLINK50. Takecareof.com, enter code CLINK50. Upon investigation, authorities found that Peter almost beat up Roberto at one time. Peter also resented him for working on the farm and thought that Peter's father treated Roberto more like a son than he did Peter. And honestly, Gus did treat Peter like trash.
I've seen that, though.
Where a father treats like
like a son-in-law or something better than his own son. I mean, and you see like a ton of resentment. I mean, hello, that is sort of the case on The Real Housewives of New Jersey with Teresa's dad treating Joe Giudice, who ended up being not so great. Hello, Teresa had to go to jail over him. Better than his son. And it caused a huge thing. Ruined the whole christening. Table flipping, all that shit.
Listen, I think this is ruining their whole life here.
Those sons, that's why he was so aggro, because those sons want their father's approval.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. And Peter did not have it. Peter never got it. So the motive is there for Peter to knock off Roberto, right?
Okay,
knock off Roberto, maybe Gus. decides that Peter's worth coming back onto the farm. He can get rid of the landscaping business and make a, you know, a good living and eventually take over the farm once his father passes away. So they storm into Peter's house. They take his computers, cell phone, search his property for any bomb-making materials. But guess what?
What?
Everything came back clean.
You know, I'm just fascinated by, like, that you can get on the interweb and learn how to make a bomb.
Don't you think that should be illegal, especially with all this stuff right now where they're censoring so much stuff on the internet? Like, you're not going to censor actual things that really kill people?
Yeah. I haven't searched it yet, but...
How to make a bomb? I think you shouldn't.
I think you shouldn't because I think I... Yeah, maybe the FBI will start watching me or something, but I want to search it just to see what, how easy is it? I remember people in high school had that Anarchy cookbook and it had like bomb making recipes and like crazy shit.
Who were you hanging out with?
Bad guys. Yeah. Passed around. Yeah. Bad guys.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do not remember that. That was not my social circle.
Not your jam.
No.
Well, I didn't like have a copy on my persona. Yeah.
But you saw
I did see it.
Mm-hmm. You know, those guys at Ventura High School, they seem to be a little bit more.
Extra?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Extra. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So he did have one thing that popped up that seemed a little odd. It was a YouTube video of a rat trap sparking something. It brought pause to them because of the rat trap piece that they found, like the spring in the bomb. But along with all these other YouTube, like their his history, he just watched prank sites. You know,
yeah.
He wasn't watching bomb making sites or anything like this.
He had that Anarchy cookbook.
Maybe he did have the Anarchy cookbook. Mind you, Peter isn't an intellect. Okay. So he's not watching Discovery Channel. He was known as not the sharpest tool in the shed. And even his family members thought they did not think he had enough brain power to make an actual bomb, which you just asked me if it was hard. This particular bomb, they thought, needed a lot of electrical work to get it to explode.
Okay.
So just a couple weeks after the incident, police received a letter in the mail. The letter was stamped with 8 stamps, but the postmark was from Sacramento area. So it was a bit of an overstamp situation. The letter read, and I'm going to read you the whole thing, okay?
Okay.
I am responsible for the panel explosion. I am military trained, expert in Vietnam devices. I received info and instructions via USPS, name, age, vehicle, ID, and plate number, location and meter number for the panel. First 3 fuses, the device had dual triggers and detonators. Trigger 1, vibration activated. Trig 2, drop weight activated upon door opening. 2-inch gallon pipe and 1/4 of gasoline in plastic bottle. Upon detonation, gas autonomized for a millisecond, completed the circuit triggering, flashover, thus electrocution. Fail safe and no disarming. Lab result will be in military grade powder, black spray painted epoxy, no DNA. This is an MS-13 violent gang job. Something about a Mexico deal gone wrong. Why am I helping you? I received another package via USPS Target 2. I will not take this job because the info I received is wrong. I got name, age, vehicle description, plate number, and location. The target is brother of Target 1 and drive the Chevy. This vehicle info is the same as the job 1. White Ford, same plate number. I finally found the Ford and now it is driven by some young guy, not the brother. Since I will not take this job, it will soon be reassigned. Someone will take it. The next guy might not catch the error in the info and the wrong person will die. I would decline anyways because I saw Target 2 with his girls and I can't deal with this. Target 2 knows the Mexico connection and that is the reason for relocating And four, it was like the number four. And then N will not help target two, the letter N. Okay. I think it means and, but it's the letter N.
Okay.
They will find him. He needs to be careful. They gave me 2 months, the number four, this job. It will be reassigned in 5 weeks. Whoever is driving the Ford is very much in danger. This is my first and final job. I am sure MS-13 will figure out I tipped authorities and will soon come for me. My house and property are protected. Larger devices. I am over this. God, luck. I think they meant good luck.
I think so.
If you, the letter U, come for number four, me, call first. I will come peacefully or detonate this device. Okay. Strange.
Strange, but clearly they're telling the truth.
You think so? Because the police didn't think so.
They didn't think so, but they are giving them all this proof by all this information that's going to be
happening
on there.
Yes. So they're coming after Eduardo.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. Eduardo doesn't know anything about any kind of Mexican gang connection. But it's possible. I mean, it's possible.
I am more struck by the fact that it's like giving details about how the bomb was made as like proof that they did it. So, I mean, the police could verify.
100% the way that the bomb was made is how this letter was written, for sure.
Okay.
This letter was also followed by another letter. I think that, by the way, let me just tell you, I think that they didn't think it was from Mexico because the 8 stamps, I think whoever put the 8 stamps on there thought it would mean it came from like a far distance, but didn't really realize that they like stamp it at the post office, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah. Maybe they gave it to somebody else to mail and said mail this wherever.
Okay, could
be
right.
Who knows?
Who knows?
I could be very wrong.
So it was followed by another letter that had a drawn out replica of the bomb and how it was made. So they still didn't buy that it was this Mexican gang. Okay?
Okay.
Embrace new beginnings. What a better way to start off 2025 than to learn a new language. I got Rosetta Stone over a year ago and have really enjoyed learning a couple different languages. Y'all know that when I went to Japan, I was learning Japanese, and now that my daughter is taking French in school, I am learning French through Rosetta Stone. It's amazing. It's been around for 30 years, so it is really the most trusted online tool to learn a new language. They have 25 different languages to choose from: Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, Dutch. I mean, if you name it, they probably have it. I think that it's amazing, and you should think about doing this for your New Year's resolution too. It's convenient and flexible, and the value is unheard of. You get a lifetime membership for all 25 of those languages. Start your New Year's off with a resolution that you can reach. Today, Housewives of True Crime listeners are going to be able to take advantage of this New Year special from Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your New Year's offer at rosettastone.com/today.
Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, and your retirement, even during the holidays. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can create your Acorns account and start automatically investing your money in just 5 minutes. Acorns helps you build your financial future in the background so you can focus on all your holiday shopping and parties. So genius. Another great thing about Acorns is you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now. That could be $5 a day or even just your spare change. That's right. Acorns can round every purchase you make up to the dollar automatically and invest your spare change for you. So that coffee you grab on the way to the mall, that's investing. And you get bonus investments just for buying the stuff you need from the brands you love. With Acorns, every single gift you buy this year could put more money in your investment account. It's like cash back, but the bonus investments have a chance to grow. So So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC. Registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink.
Police then got an anonymous call to look at Paul, not Peter. Paul, they thought. Why Paul? Paul worked at the farm. Paul had half of his shares of the farm from his dad. He had nothing to gain by Roberto's passing. But they have to check out everything, so they did. And it turns out that maybe Paul also resented Roberto. Although they worked alongside one another, Roberto had the upper hand around the farm. And Roger, Paul's dad, also really loved Roberto. He left lots, if not all, decisions of the farm up to Roberto. And that made Paul feel kind of less than.
Better. Okay.
He had also told Paul he needed to earn the respect of the employees around the farm, as well as spend years working there before he was to get half of his shares. Investigators actually found some metal fragments in the barn that Eduardo, Roberto's brother, claimed he saw Paul tinkering with one day. So in December, Paul's house was raided. His phone, computers, everything was seized. And it turns out that maybe Paul actually resented Roberto a little bit more than they thought, and even resented his cousin Peter, too. He had a letter on his computer titled My Life. It spoke about him being young on the farm and Peter getting to drive the better air-conditioned tractor because he was such a pussy. And he got to go on the shitty tractors.
Holy shit, I've never heard of an air-conditioned tractor.
I know.
That is
how does that
pretty
work?
Bougie. I would be pretty bitter about that, too. It's hot in Northern California.
It is.
Shoot.
It is. He also thought the Ayala brothers were trying to take over his life. It talked about his own father and how his father thought he was an idiot and regarded Roberto as so smart and intelligent, making Paul feel real crappy. They also found that Paul had erased part of the text messages that he had shown the investigators in the very beginning about Peter not liking Roberto. Turns out he erased his part of the text messages that maybe, which I'm speculating, egged Peter on to say that about Roberto. Another thing he wrote in his letter, using those number 4 as 4 and the letter U as U, exactly how the letter was sent to the police was written. And then there was a smoking gun, a blank piece of white paper that had faint lines on it, indents that were something had drawn, like, indents that something had drawn on the paper above. And when they sent it to the lab, it was almost an exact replica of the paper the police were sent in the mail of the bomb. And there were 4 fingerprints lifted from that paper and all happened to be Paul's.
Wait.
What do you think about
the
that,
The fingerprints were lifted from
the paper,
letter.
The white piece of paper.
The white piece of paper, not the letter.
So the letter had no DNA or fingerprints. Neither of the letters had any fingerprints or DNA. The only fingerprints that they found were from the white piece of blank paper that looked like it had something traced on top of it, had trace marks. Also, the bomb replica on that paper, it was pretty close. A couple of the lines were off, but maybe just because the paper underneath shifted a little bit or the paper on top shifted, you know?
Yeah.
So they arrested Paul Moore and tried him for murder of Roberto
Ayala. I'm just
Ayala.
A little confused. Like, why would he send those letters to the police after? They really didn't
have anything, and
it doesn't sound like they were even pointing the finger at him. That sounds like real stupid.
Okay, so I don't know this case to me is a little bit weird. And I was going to talk to you after I finished about it, because I'm like, something isn't adding up all the way to me. So Paul was adamant that he was innocent. He still claims that he's innocent. He blames this whole thing on Peter. He thinks Peter was the one who killed Roberto, and Peter planted the piece of paper in his house. Peter says, I have not even been in your house in ages, so
that's a stretch.
It's not me.
Yeah, with his fingerprints on it. Okay.
He says that his fingerprints are on it, on that white piece of paper, because he was doing something with his blinds and like put his hand down on it. The bomb is from somebody that is skilled, that someone knows how to do electrical work. And that is something that Paul was pretty good at. Even his own father said that he was good at electrical stuff. His son said he was good at electrical stuff. So, and everybody says that Peter couldn't have done it. So the jury believed the prosecution too and convicted Paul of murder with a life sentence without parole. The Ayala family has since sued the Moore family farm and won a $20 million settlement, to which their lawyers think they will never see any of it. I can't find any information on this Moore family. I think they went bankrupt.
Well, then they should have to sell that damn farm and pony up the money to that family. Time to sell the farm.
I know they got some money from a workers' comp claim, like a settlement, the Ayala family. But I cannot even find the Moore Brothers farm anymore. So I don't think it exists.
They need like enough money to put those kids through college. They need to sell the farm.
I know. I think they deserve the $20 million.
Yeah. I'm with it.
Paul has appealed his conviction, but it was denied. But like I said, I do have interesting feelings on this case because I'm not 100% convinced. The actual evidence was this piece of paper. That's what convicted him, right? Why would he send those letters acting like it was
this complicated thing?
Gang?
I don't know. I don't think that on some level, some people just kind of do want to get caught. Or at least they want to play a little chase. They want to just watch it unravel. It's like you always hear about the criminals show up at the crime scene or something. Like,
yeah,
they're not smart.
Well, it did just seem like he was playing with them, right?
Yeah, that's what that was. He probably thought about this for a long time. And this, he was like getting off on this shit.
Yeah.
And he wanted to see the investigation unfold and like kind of keep it going.
Right. Yeah. So crazy.
That is crazy. And sad. So do we know what prison facility he is in?
Oh, I did look it up. He is in prison still in California, but it is not up here.
What's San Quentin?
It's not San Quentin. It is not. Let me tell you. It's Avenal State Prison. You know where that is?
I am not familiar.
Yeah, I've never heard of that prison.
So maybe it's a maybe it's a lower security prison. So maybe he's...
Number one King's Way in Avenal, California, which I've not even heard of that. They get to do a lot of stuff there. They have auto body, auto mechanics.
Oh, yeah.
They have education. They have a furniture factory, metal factory, egg factory. So I think it sounds like
He must have been deemed low risk. Yeah,
probably because they don't really know if he actually did it.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like he did.
A huge amount of proof. Oh, my God. You know what? I watched that Golden State Killer, I'll Be Gone in the Dark documentary on HBO Max.
I've been watching it, too.
Oh my God. I just cannot believe. I need to know more. Like, I need to know more about what he's doing in prison now. If you haven't watched it, at the end of the documentary, they show the Golden State Killer, Joe DeAngelo, get wheeled in, you know, to the courtroom. And he says he's sorry, sort of. And
how can he be sorry? He's not sorry.
He just says, he talks like an old man. I've heard your statements and I'm sorry. But he is like acting like he's so feeble. And then they show these videos of him like crawling around his cell. It's super creepy.
Doing what?
He's like trying to cover the light. And so he like climbs on top of like the bed and the desk and he's doing all this stuff. It's like this dude, if you're in a wheelchair, you would not be doing this. Like if he really needed all that stuff. And he's like doing exercises. He's like not a feeble old man. He's 74, but he's like flexible. He's agile.
Dude, listen, there's a lot of 74-year-olds that are still totally with it. So
it just makes it so much more creepy that it's like, oh my God, he's trying to fool everyone, you know, still.
He's so gross. He's so gross. I hate it. I also cannot believe what these women had to go through. And it's almost like when you hear their stories that they were like, I don't know, like they were so scared of him coming. But then once he did, they all were like, we just kind of knew that that was what he was going to do to us.
Well, yeah. Yeah. They just wanted to live. And the ones that are there are the ones that did are lucky because he committed 13 murders. Yeah, what's crazy is like, especially in the town of Visalia, he had like a reign of terror there. I mean, he hit so many houses. He was part of a stakeout because somebody spotted footprints, you know, below their window. Mm-hmm. And the police saw him at one point. I mean, how terrifying to like, if I knew there was a rapist on the loose, like, that was as violent as him. The thing is I don't think it was portrayed. Things were in newspapers then, you know, like I don't think it was portrayed as violent and as horrible as it was. And women weren't as forthcoming with how terrible it was at the time. But God, if you knew, can you imagine? I couldn't go home sleeping in your house. No. And like, he's been there. There's the footprints.
Oh my God. No way. Would never. And, you know, they were like, okay, you know, tie a string to a bell and tie it to your doors. And I'm like, oh my God, can you imagine? I mean, we're so lucky we have alarm systems now.
Yes.
And ones that are really inexpensive. So pretty much anybody can get an alarm system these days.
I'm so glad this man got these women got justice. I also was kind of struck by, he has like a niece or something that he helped raise. And I think she said something like, I can't believe this is you. I still love you, Uncle Joe. I just wanted to fucking slap her.
Gross.
It's gross. I'm sorry. Get that he like, yeah, but I'm sorry. I can't think of a family member of mine that committed atrocities like this, that I'd be like, I still love you. I'd be like, you're a fucking monster. You're going to rot in hell.
Never.
Bye.
Never.
Yeah. But then maybe that's just me.
No, not. All right. So that's a WAP for today. You guys, if you want more of us, we are on patreon.com/housewivesoftruecrime. You can check out our Halloween video. We got dressed up for that. If you're still in the Halloween spirit, Gretchen's doing a bonus crime next week.
Maybe.
This week.
No, it's going to be the following week.
Okay. Next week. And follow us on Housewives of True Crime group on Facebook. Follow our YouTube, please. And we're also on Instagram if you want to look at us there. Anything else, Gretchy Poo?
That's all I can think of.
All right. Have a great week, guys.
Clink, clink.
Clink, clink.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.